Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I'm Father Dwight Longenecker. I'd like to invite you to join me for a pilgrimage tour to France this September. It's based on my book, St. Benedict and St. Therese, The Little Rule and the Little Way. I'll be teaching about the spiritualities and the lives of these two great saints, and we'll be visiting the great monastery of Fleury, where St. Benedict's relics are venerated, and of course going to Lisieux to visit the childhood home of St. Therese, the Carmel where she was a nun, and the great basilica dedicated to her honor. But there's more than that. At Paris, we'll be visiting the Basilica of Sacré-Cœur, Rue de Bac with the Miraculous Medal, going on to Vézelay, Nevers with St. Bernadette, Paray-le-Monial, where the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus was given to St. Margaret Mary, and then Chartres Cathedral, Mont-Saint-Michel, the Normandy beaches, and more. I think there's not only going to be time for instruction and learning, but also prayer and worship, celebrating Mass in the various locations, and also time for fellowship and a good bit of French food and wine, too. Come and join us this September. If you'd like to know more, go to CatholicHeritageTours.com. That's CatholicHeritageTours.com, or be in touch with me through my website, DwightLongenecker.com.
Fellowship and love.
And thanks for joining our podcast. The name of the show is Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries, teaching what the Bible tells us are the best ways to handle money. We use the Bible as a resource. Do you realize in the Bible there are 2,500 verses that show us how to handle the gifts that God has provided us? We teach these biblical principles in our small group Bible study called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. You can learn more simply by going to CompassCatholic.org. The bottom line, our goal is to get you totally debt-free, no matter how large or how small the debt may be. My name is Steve Holbrook, and joining me today are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. Well, today our topic is throwing a birthday party. No, we're not in the birthday party planning business, but, you know, many times driving through our neighborhood, we come across these very elaborate birthday celebrations. You know, they have the bounce houses, the water slides. Now, don't get me wrong, your child's birthday party should be fun and memorable, but we don't feel it should drain your wallet, right?
Yeah, I think that thoughtful gifts, fun, simple activities, and family traditions should be the focus. Not spending money and exhausting the parents and driving the kids into a frenzy over all the activities that are going on.
All the activities and the presents and everything else. But, you know, it's hard to see in our materialistic society that spending time together is far more valuable than buying stuff. Because time is truly the only valuable thing in our lives. And there's nothing more worthwhile than to give your time to others, especially your child.
An ideal time to spend time with your child is on their birthday. There's ways that you should go about it. Pay attention to them. Talk with them and listen to them and engage in some activity together with them. It's not about all the other stuff that could happen, you know, bouncy houses and water slides and
pony rides,
all that kind of stuff, you know. The time that you spend together is much more important than the over-the-top, super expensive birthday parties.
Steve, you guys just went to a family member's birthday party not too long ago for a child, right?
Right, our grandson. And it was out in Texas. And the beauty of it in Texas, they have a lot of parks, community parks. Everywhere you look, there's parks, a lot of green area. And our grandson, who turned 5, the only thing he wanted, as same as last year, is a piñata.
So he likes beating things and getting candy out of it.
They went to the dollar store, bought a bunch of candy, stuffed the piñata, and...
And he was happy, right?
And there was a playground literally right there, so the kids were occupied. They didn't care about eating, and the parents had refreshments. Everything was good.
Nice and simple. So,
in 2 hours, it was hello and goodbye.
So the big question, Steve, is... Did you let your grandson break the piñata, or did you jump up and do it real quick?
I managed the line. Well, actually, I had to manage that one of the other 5-year-olds didn't get in the line of swing. So, but actually, it was a lot of fun watching these little five-year-olds taking swings at a pinata.
That's nice and low-key, because the kids can run around, they can burn off their excessive energy, and they can do whatever they want to do.
It's exactly what they did.
Yeah, it's not like you have to corral them and have them do stuff. So.
No, it was an inexpensive day, because obviously it's free. It's a community park, so there was nothing to rent. So just whatever cost to make cupcakes, dollar candy, and the pinata.
And a lot of what your daughter-in-law did for your grandson's birthday is what we're going to talk about today. Because so many parents get caught up in trying to keep up with the neighbors. So our first point when you're planning your child's birthday party is don't even think about keeping up with the neighbors. You know, if other parents have inflatable slides and bouncy houses and pony rides and balloon animal makers and all kinds of crazy things, that doesn't mean you have to do it.
You mean what's left over from their parties they shouldn't use for their kids' parties?
It seems like a lot of parents these days are just very hesitant to use the phrase, that's not how we do it in our family. That's not what our family's going to do. It just seems like there's no boundaries around kids. And if other parents want to splurge on gifts like an Apple Watch for a six-year-old or a dollhouse that costs several hundred dollars, that doesn't mean you have to do it.
The kinds of decisions made by other families can be different than the decisions that you make in your family. That's perfectly okay.
And I think mom and dad need to talk to each other and plan out. And I know your son and his wife do this. They have a financial sense about them. Mm-hmm. They're not going to get into something for the kids that doesn't fit into their budget.
No, not at all.
And that teaches the kids that it's not okay to do that kind of stuff, which a lot of kids aren't learning either.
Mm-hmm. I think the other thing is that you don't need to have just tons and tons and tons of presents. Getting a mountain of gifts is just overwhelming. You know, if you're careful to make sure that your child gets the present that they're really focused on, and every kid is focused on something, one thing probably above most other things. And if you can make sure that they get that one thing, then a few more gifts, inexpensive, is the way to go. It's a lot easier to keep spending under control if you've kind of set a limit for gifts. It's kind of like what we've talked about before for Christmas.
Yes.
You know, socks, jocks, and t-shirts.
I don't think we've talked about that.
Missed that show.
Yeah. And that was one he recorded by himself.
But you know, you're absolutely right. And I really, you know, observing, because our oldest grandson is 12, but the younger they are, the least you don't have to get them gifts.
Yeah.
Little things amused him, like bubbles. Somebody bought him a thing of bubbles, and that's what he played with when he got home, I think for the rest of the afternoon.
And it's okay.
Yeah, and a majority of the gifts he did receive were from the dollar store. They were very inexpensive, because Jesse and Kevin specified that in the invitation. They said no gifts because the aunts and uncles are going to give him gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And just come and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, I think if there's this whole great big huge pile of presents in front of the child and they open the third gift or so, then each subsequent gift has less and less importance. And it sets them up for the tearing off the wrappings and throwing the wrappings away and demanding what's next and, you know, throwing a little hissy fit and all that.
It becomes a race to get to the last present.
Yeah, right? And it's like nothing matters. It's just give me the next one, give me the next. It's almost like an addiction. I'm addicted to presents. But, you know, even if a child gets a whole bunch of things, they tend to gravitate toward the one or two things that really mean the most to them. So it's just a waste of money to give them overkill on all these presents, because what happens to the toys they already do have, right? You know, if they've got a whole bunch of toys at home and they get a whole bunch of more for Christmas, then you just end up with a bunch of junk in your house. So you can avoid cluttering up your house by limiting the number of gifts to begin with, right?
That probably should be done just as a matter of practice. Mom and dad go through the toy box or wherever all the toys are. And especially when you've got things coming up like birthdays and Christmas and things like that, where they're going to get more presents, it's time to re-gift some of those to, you know, to Salvation Army or to the church outreach or something like that.
Well, I think it's more important. I agree with what you're saying about getting rid of some of the stuff the kids aren't playing with, but I think it's a good deal to involve the child in that. Mom and dad shouldn't be doing that. Mom or dad should be doing it with the child, because that teaches the child to give away stuff that they're not using, which is an important lesson for a lot of adults.
I mean, this is a lot like what you talk about, vacations, Christmas, family, birthday gifts. Budget for this.
Yeah.
Because the birthday comes like Christmas, John. It comes every year at the same date.
You think?
So there's no surprises. So you do set aside a budget. It's not like, let's go nuts because the kid's 6 years old.
And you would think mom and dad would know the kid's birthday too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mom especially.
I would hope dad was involved in that.
But you know what I love about Kevin and Jesse, ever since the boys were young, they were always simple birthday parties. So their expectation is, and they had a great time. Every year they have a good time.
Yeah. And once you set that expectation, and this is how we do things in our family, and this is the way we do birthday parties, the kids don't argue with it. You know, it's the way things are done, and they just kind of accept that that's the way things are done. Getting back to the gift-giving thing, I think once people get the thing they really want, like you were talking about before, everything else kind of becomes second nature. So it seems counterintuitive, but they'll be thrilled when they get the main thing they wanted, and all the other stuff kind of falls by the wayside.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and especially if that one thing is something that is nice, it's meaningful, doesn't have to be really expensive. I mean, like you were talking about, Des, you know, he just wanted a pinata.
Well, while we're talking about keeping the gift-giving simple, the other thing is to keep the party simple. You know, rather than having an over-the-top party with petting zoos and merry-go-rounds and pony rides and a mime and all that kind of stuff, just keep the birthday party simple and small. Maybe 3 to 5 friends. Because the more kids you have, the more overwhelming it's going to be for you and especially the child. Now, how many did Des have at his party?
I'm going to guess 7, 8 kids.
Yeah, that's not bad.
No.
It's when you have to invite 30 that it gets out of control.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because large parties are expensive, and if they're too large, the kids are just in a frenzy. And that's the last thing you want is a whole bunch of kids that are in a frenzy and souped up on sugar and cookies and sodas.
So, you know, my birthday's coming up in a couple of weeks, Evelyn.
And who do you want at your birthday party, John?
Well, I would hope you would be there, but, you know, I was thinking about...
I'll be there in the morning.
But if you can't make it.
But I was thinking, you know, the petting zoo or the merry-go-round, or we could do pony rides.
Do pony rides.
Maybe we could have a mime, you know.
How about if I take you golfing for the day?
I'm telling you, John, go with the pinata.
But some of these large parties are so expensive, and it just gets out of control. So center the party around some kind of simple activity or easy-to-run games. I was reading online about a game that was called Don't Pop the Bubbles. So you lay bubble wrap on the floor, and you have the kids take turn walking across it, and they're not supposed to break any bubbles. Another cute game was to scoop the cotton balls. So you have a bowl full of cotton balls and an empty bowl beside the bowl. And the kid gets a spoon, and then you blindfold them, and they're supposed to move the cotton balls from the cotton ball bowl into the empty bowl.
I'm sure if you did a Google search finding inexpensive birthday games, you're going to come across hundreds for your child's next birthday party, and most of them will be very memorable. You never need to go over the top and spend a lot of money when you really don't have to. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries. Learn how we can help you manage the gifts that God has given you by going to compasscatholic.org. John and Evelyn Bean, the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, join me today, and we're discussing birthday parties that won't put a dent in your bank account. Now, Evelyn, we've had 4 or 5 good ideas that we shared already. What are some of the other inexpensive ideas when it comes to that special birthday party for your child?
Steve, I like what you said earlier about your daughter-in-law using a free picnic pavilion at the local park for the birthday party, because the fewer guests you have, the easier it is to have the party at home. But it's really a good idea also to think about those free picnic shelters that you might be able to use in local parks, or have the party outside, which is kind of hard to do if you're in Massachusetts in December, but maybe you could have a sled riding party.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you need to find ways. I can understand why somebody wouldn't want 6 5-year-olds running through the house, but find a way to have the party where you're not paying for the space, because why do you want to pay money to go someplace where all you're doing is opening presents and eating cake?
Exactly. It just doesn't make any sense. The kids are going to run around.
And I also like what you said about Jesse making cupcakes, because rather than buying a birthday cake from a bakery, make it at home.
See, and Des participated in that, because he said what kind of cupcake he wanted. He broke the eggs and helped her with the icing and sprinkles on the cupcakes.
What a great memory for them,
yep.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, plus the kids aren't going to eat a whole piece of cake, typically,
yeah.
especially five-year-olds.
Even a whole cupcake.
Yeah.
They go
yeah.
for the icing, and then it's...
Yeah.
Well, that what's wrong with eating like that?
I mean, the birds are sitting on the fence waiting.
Oh, there's five-year-olds in the park. Let's sit here. Cake, 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 cake. But that's it. You know, I like what you said, John, about involving the family to bake the cake and letting the birthday child personalize the cake, because that is a memory that they'll have. They're not going to remember the cake that they got from the grocery store or the bakery. They're going to remember decorating the cake with mom and picking out the decorations that go on it. And the homemade cake is much less expensive, and it feels much more personal and fun.
For a five-year-old, they don't care.
Yeah, they could eat grandma's cake.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Well, and who says it has to be a cake? Like you said, Steve, Jesse did cupcakes, mm-hmm. you know? Maybe you have ice cream only, or pie, or strawberry shortcake, or cinnamon rolls, or...
Or even you just buy the novelty ice cream from out of the freezer department.
So what kind of cake do you want for your birthday, John?
German chocolate.
You know, it's pretty rare when a birthday party works out to be on the child's actual birth date. So one of the things we like to encourage parents to do is to make the birthday itself a really special day. You know, maybe wake them up by singing happy birthday or make their...
No!
I won't sing to you. Don't worry about it. Or if you don't behave yourself, I may sing to you. Or maybe make them a special breakfast that morning, maybe pancakes or waffles or... You know, maybe there's a special dish that says we're celebrating you today and they get to use that one on their birthday or whatever it is that you can do to make that day special for the child will be much appreciated and they'll remember it.
Yeah, most of the time, the special meals that I get on my birthday, John, won't you cook this on the grill?
That's because when I say, what do you want for supper? He says, I don't care. Do you want me to cook on the grill?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. That's like asking me to sing for you. But for heaven's sake, stay away from restaurant meals. I mean, the poor kids, they don't want to get dressed up. They don't want to sit there and wait.
They don't want to behave. Yeah.
I mean, make their special supper. Get them involved in making supper. And then after dinner, have the child decide on a family activity that everybody can do together. And the only rules are it has to be free, and it has to involve the whole family. So what kinds of things could we do, guys?
Watch a movie. Play games.
Walk. Take a walk. Water balloons. Did you ever do water balloons?
Water balloons. Yeah, there's an Easter tradition in Texas, and I'm sure elsewhere around the country, and it's purchasing colored Easter eggs, but inside the Easter egg is confetti. So you, like a water balloon, you throw it at somebody, and it explodes, and confetti goes everywhere. And the boys love to have that as part of their birthday celebration, and it's very inexpensive.
So does the egg fall apart when you throw it at somebody, or does it break and the confetti
You're
comes
supposed
out?
To, like, break it over their head, aren't
it's,
you?
It's a real egg.
Yeah.
But I don't know how they're able to drill the hole to put the confetti in, but you do. You throw it at somebody, and it will just burst, and there's confetti everywhere.
You have to make a big hole at one end of the egg and a little hole at the other one, and then you blow the egg out,
yeah.
which really sounds like it's going
to
be hard.
But when you go to a grocery store, and there are thousands of dozen of these boxes of these eggs they have on display, especially during Easter.
But do they have them all the time?
Yeah, all the time for birthdays. But at Easter, I remember when we were there for Easter a couple of months ago, that there must have been over 1,000 crates of these eggs.
Wow.
And we picked some up for them for Easter because the kids love doing that. Who wouldn't? The adults did too, to be honest.
Well, that we did that when we were in San Antonio one time. You know, another thing that I was reading about online when I was doing some research for this show is to make the birthday a day to talk about growing up. And I thought that was a great way for mom and dad to kind of sit down and have a tradition with the child. You know, maybe you can have a discussion about what this age means as far as how different life is going to be for them. You know, can they stay up later? Are their chores going to be different? Do they get a bigger allowance? Is there some place they can go without mm-hmm. mom and dad that's outside of their, you know, going next door? Can they go down the street to visit their friends? Are they allowed to ride their bike to school? It's whatever milestone that birthday represents, and it's a way to add special meaning to each birthday.
So this is the time when you tell them they can stay outside till the streetlights come on, huh?
But I love the idea of starting a tradition. I mean, one of the things the boys love to do is hear, and I've noticed that they will ask this at dinner of their mom and dad, tell me one story about a birthday party that you went to.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they've done that every year. Now, Kevin will tell stories, and I'm going, I don't remember any of that. So I don't know. And I think he makes some of that up.
But the kids are amused.
Exactly, but they're memorable.
You know, I had an interesting thing happen last year. We were at a Compass function, and there was a girl there, and we talked and kind of went back and forth about where did you grow up, blah, 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 you know, all that. And it turns out that she was in my Catholic grade school.
Oh, really?
When we were in, I think, fourth grade.
Yeah.
And she went to my 10th birthday party.
Now, did you know she was from Pittsburgh?
No. I haven't laid eyes on her since she was at my birthday party in fourth grade.
Really?
Really. And the more we talked, the more we put it together. And it brought to mind, my mom passed away not too long ago. My sister and I went through all the pictures, and I knew there was a picture of that birthday. And I had my sister send it to me. And there's me and this person that I haven't seen for 50 years.
That's great.
Wait a minute. If it was your 10th birthday.
Oh, it was longer than that, yeah. But isn't that amazing?
I'll edit that part out.
But isn't that funny that I wouldn't have seen somebody for that long,
exactly,
and then run into her and know exactly what she was talking about, because she was all about, I came to your 10th birthday party.
She remembered that.
She remembered that. Wow. But there were only three of us at the birthday party because my mom never had big birthday parties for us.
Same with my parents.
Yeah, I could invite two friends for dinner and cake, and that was it.
Yeah.
But that was kind of a cool thing. That was fun. Haven't seen her since, but well, she doesn't really live around here. So the bottom line that we're trying to get across in all this talk about birthday is don't substitute spending for meaning. An expensive party and a pile of expensive gifts might be exciting, but what does it mean to the child, and how much are they going to remember that down the line?
Yeah, I think it's important, too, that you get the child involved in their own party. And the parents may say, hey, I'm going to do, like you say, John, a mime, a guy that comes and makes balloon animals. Child may have no urge for that stuff.
Yeah.
They just want a piñata.
Or they want hot dogs for dinner.
Hot dogs, exactly.
Or they want, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember any birthdays when you were growing up, John?
Actually, I don't remember a single one.
Your parents didn't celebrate your birthday?
Oh, I'm sure we did.
But you don't remember?
I don't have a clue.
What about you, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, having a twin brother, we always had, there was always three other boys in the neighborhood that would come over. And my parents filled the, because our birthday's in June, would fill the rubber, the swimming pool.
The little thing with the rings that blew up?
Yes,
yeah.
With the thing. And I remember we'd be in there and there'd be more grass in the pool than on the yard by the time we were done. But we did that. My mom made a cake. And
that was it?
Yeah. But we had fun because it was our friends.
Yeah.
And that we hung out every day.
So. Now, did you get two cakes since you were a twin,
no,
or did you only get one cake?
Just one cake.
So did you like fight each other for who had which half of the cake?
No. That I don't remember. I do remember it was just one cake.
Yeah.
Because a number of people have asked, did your mom make two cakes?
You know, in the end, it's the time you took and the memories that you make that's really special about birthdays. And when the kids know that their parents took time to make their favorite dinner or favorite dessert, it certainly makes them feel more special and more celebrated. And the great thing about kids is it doesn't take a lot to get them excited. So you can make a sad-looking cake with wobbly letters, and they don't care if you made it for them. They think it's lovely and it's perfect.
It's just for them.
It's just for them.
Yeah.
Especially if they got to help with it.
Yeah. And the thing is, building those bonds and creating memorable moments, it just doesn't happen by throwing money in a big, expensive party. All the gifts, it just goes by the board. It happens with time and attention, which are always the best gifts you can give to your child, period.
Plus, time and attention don't cost you too much money out of your wallet, right?
That's true.
So give your child time. Give your child attention. If you give them those two gifts, then all of the physical gifts are unnecessary. Teach your child to appreciate the things in life that are really important: relationships, fun, sharing, conversation, traditions, and spending time together.
Those gifts are so much more precious than any store-bought gift you could possibly give them.
And John, that is so true. See, you don't have to go over the top and in debt to throw a special birthday party. There are so many inexpensive or free things that will make it memorable for your child. Now, if you'd like to share this show with a friend or family member, you may do so on demand. It's available at compasscatholic.org. Scroll down on the homepage, click on podcast button, and look for the one titled Birthday Parties That Won't Drain Your Wallet. Okay, John and Evelyn, we have several emails that we'd love to answer this morning. This one has to do with having your children involved in the finances, and it reads, should we share household finances with our teenage sons, or is it best to keep that private? We do have some challenges right now, but we don't want to worry them or place any stress on them.
You know, I think anytime you can share whatever is appropriate with teenagers and even younger children as far as household finances, it's a good learning tool for them. I wouldn't give them all the ugly details if you're in a lot of financial trouble, but I would tell them that you've got debt you need to pay off or you're trying to save for a certain thing, and just give them the high level view of what you're trying to do. And I think you'll be surprised how much they'll buckle down and help.
I would also, you know, how much you tell them depends on how old they are and how mature they are and their ability to maintain confidentiality. Steve Harvey is making a career out of kids saying the craziest things on the TV. Well, they're only repeating what they hear from home. As long as your children are mature and can handle the information you're going to give them, then I think it's a good idea.
And this one's interesting, dealing with retirement. Does the Bible say anything about when, what age, a person should retire?
Well, the only reference in the Bible is in the book of Numbers, and it's talking about the Levites who worked in the tabernacle were supposed to retire at the age of 50. But in the rest of the Bible, there's really not one single reference to retiring.
So that means as we get older, we're not supposed to quit working. We're just supposed to change our focus of work and maybe move into some different type of work, like full-time volunteer efforts or helping out our families or something, so that we're still making good use of our time and talents.
Yeah, there was a popular book that was written, and I can't remember the author now, but it was entitled, Don't Retire, Rewire. And I think that pretty well explains what you should be doing. As much as many of us would like to go sit at the city gates, you know, and with the elders and pontificate, I think if you work for the Lord, you would serve God much better.
Now, if you have a question for John and Evelyn, maybe you have a financial challenge that you are experiencing and you would like their advice, by all means, send your questions to ask, that's A-S-K, at compasscatholic.org. That's ask at compasscatholic.org. Also, if you have some feedback on the show, we'd also love to hear from you. That email address is info@relevantradio.com. Again, info@relevantradio.com. For John and Evelyn Bean, I want to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. And remember, we have a brand new one for you. We post it each and every Wednesday morning, bright and early, at compasscatholic.org. On the homepage, just scroll down and click on podcast. Not only will you find the most current podcast, but you'll find an archive library of all the shows that we have done over the last couple of years. This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We're from Compass Catholic Ministry. And don't forget to check out our website, compasscatholic.org.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tours Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.